Well, a good Tuesday afternoon, Saskatchewan. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone as we're gearing up Friday night at Mosaic Stadium. I think it's going to be a dandy one. As we were talking with Justin Blackwell earlier on Saskatchewan afternoon, I was like, if there's a game I'm marking down early, if you're one of those who like, I'm going to go to one game this year, this is an early special, especially if you like country music, because it's the, the Back 40 Bash.
Rooted in the West.
We're turning
up the volume and bringing the country vibes to the heart of the prairies.
That's on Friday.
Yee-haw!
Are you going to wear your cowboy hat on Friday night?
You
own a cowboy hat.
Do not have a cowboy hat. I had a cowboy. This is what happened to my cowboy hat. I had a cowboy hat.
How do you not own a cowboy hat?
Well, I'm not a cowboy. I had a cowboy hat from a concert that I went to. It had a Canadian flag on it, and my daughter was visiting me, my oldest,
she took my.
It was one of those mesh things, like the weave, the straw.
The straw ones. The cheapies that you get at out of the box of a kokanee pack.
I always wanted
a Corona pack.
You're
going to see a lot of those at Country Thunder I met this week.
And unfortunately, I can't wear cowboy boots.
You can't? Like, physically, it's impossible for you to put on a cowboy boot?
If I was to get a pair of cowboy boots, we're going deep here on old Locker today. I have a really, really high arch. I'd have to go get a special boot. I can't get a boot over the front of my foot. I've tried. I've always wanted. The other problem is,
I imagine we can find you some cowboy boots, Locker.
You'd have to get them special made, or there'd have to be somebody told me they could get me a pair. Like, they'd have to open up the top or whatever. Anyway, here's the other problem is I don't look good. Like, there's guys that look good in a cowboy hat and cowboy boots.
You just have to dress appropriately.
No.
You have the right pair of jeans. Your shirt's pretty close. It might work today.
You know when you go to the Stampede?
Then the cowboy hat and you get the cowboy boots on. You get a nice belt buckle going. You're ready for Friday Night Football.
I don't think it's a good idea. Scotty knows what I'm talking about. He knows.
Let's go!
And speaking of Friday Night Football, well, the Saskatchewan Roughriders definitely know after watching last week's game between the Stampeders and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers not to take Calgary lightly at all.
They've got a great leader over there with Vernon. He's leading the troops, and he gets guys to believe in what they're doing. And he has an infectious belief. He's a great football player, a great leader, and I love that guy. And they have a great defense, and, you know, it's a scheme that is giving people trouble.
It has, indeed. So the Riders not taking the Stampeders lightly. Of course, 4-0 Riders, 3-1 Stampeders. Winner, pretty well you can say, is alone on the top of the standings, even though it would be a tie with the Riders, Bombers, and Stamps if the Stamps win. But in a tiebreaker, the Stamps have beaten the Bombers and the Riders. You'd have to declare them top spot in the West. Of course, that goes Friday night, 7 o'clock. The Green Zone pregame show starts at 5. We'll have a former Stampeder. Touchdown Tommy Stevens will be on the Green Zone tomorrow.
Tommy Tsunami is... We're dealing with that right out of the gates. I want him in... Can we get him here in person?
No, he's a little busy preparing for a football game.
He's going to do it over the phone?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. I need to see the whites of his eyes. Because I know how he's going
to react. I don't think you want to. Because you'll see his eyes roll when you say Tommy Tsunami.
Well, then that's fine. Then I know that it's a bad idea. Right? That's what I'm looking for.
You should already know it's a bad idea.
Tommy Tsunami is a great nickname. All right, we'll move over to baseball. The Jays have won 9 straight after last night.
Lo Perfido with a high fly ball to right center field. Deep, and it's gone!
You just want to help. And now another one sent to deep right field, and Nathan Lucas has hit it out.
Interesting thing about this team right now is they're getting contributions from everybody up and down the lineup, 1 through 9. The Jays 8, White Sox 4 last night. The longest win streak for this team since 2015. That was a big year for the Jays.
That was the Bautista
yes
homer that year in the playoffs.
Yeah, and they won 11 games in August last year. So tonight they go for 10. Chicago cannot beat Toronto at home. That was their 8th loss in a row to the Blue Jays at home. Bassett will be up next for the Jays, and that game is tonight when they go for 10 straight, like I said, at 5:40 p.m. our time.
Now to junior hockey, or maybe I should say NCAA hockey, as later on this afternoon, Gavin McKenna will make it official.
Breakaway for Gavin McKenna, scores!
That drive tip score! McKenna, the deflection in front as he doubles down!
McKenna, Michigan attempt, and he scores!
There is no doubt right now where Gavin McKenna is going to be drafted next spring. First overall in the 2026 NHL draft, but this afternoon, he's actually doing this on ESPN, as ESPN tries to promote a little bit more of their hockey coverage, will officially declare his NCAA commitment. As everybody knows already, it's going to go to Penn State.
Is this a bad idea?
I don't think this
on
was
this
his
day,
idea.
Yes.
We'll get to this day in sports. It was another made-for-TV free agent special 15 years ago today. Didn't go well for a certain basketball star, but Gavin McKenna will probably, I don't know if he'll have hats or what it's going to look like and put on the Penn State lid. So he's leaving the WHL and the Medicine Hat Tigers to spend at least 1 year in university until his draft. He's a bit of a unicorn, right? He's got a late birthday. He can go to university. He's a December baby. So he has this gap year. So we'll see if this is going to be a trend, if this is just one of those one-offs.
You're going to see guys, if they get a chance to make $1 million, they're going to go play.
Yeah, there's some reports that is like NIL and commitment money might be closing in on $1 million Canadian.
The other thing that everyone's not talking about is the other side of this is that if you go to university, you can come back to the WHL, right?
Yep.
So you can go back. I think there's going to be a lot of movement. It might, you're going to hear the top players are going to go down there for the cash, right? But you're going to, a lot of players you're not going to hear about are going to, I don't think this is going to destroy the CHL.
Well, like Dean DeSilva told us yesterday, what you're also seeing is a lot of American players that were at the NCAA going, oh, I want to.
Hold on, I can play in the best development league in the world.
I can go to the CHL now, which, you know, you might lose some, gain some. The other way. But Gavin McKenna will make an announcement in about 2 hours on ESPN on his university commitment as he'll leave the WHL.
We'll stay on the ice. The NHL and the NHL Players Association have ratified an extension of a new 4-year collective bargaining agreement that will take them through till 2030.
While we didn't agree on everything, we had a very constructive, professional, collaborative collective bargaining process. I think that Marty and I have established a very good tone and a very good basis for our relationship going forward.
And Gary Bettman, who you just heard there, will soon announce his retirement so that a Canadian team can win the Stanley Cup.
Unofficially.
84-game schedule, a shortened preseason, e-bugs, which means the team will be allowed to carry a third goalie around with them. That sounds weird. A third goalie will be able to join the team on the payroll. A playoff salary cap that'll deal with the LTIR issues that they've had over the last little while. And the one that is caught our attention, which is odd, was the mandatory dress code has been dropped for players. This will not kick in this coming season, so we'll still see 82
game season
games next year. But it will be the following season that this will kick in and the changes. And there also could be some adjustments to it. So when they make these announcements, Jamie, they're not giving out all the details because there could still be some changes. Like, the players will vote on it. The the owners will vote on it, and then it'll be signed. And anyway, but things look good.
Yeah, it's very good that there's bargaining peace between the Players Association as the NHL after a couple of lockouts and shortened seasons over the last 20 years. So, moving on, we're going to talk a little Canadian Football League this afternoon. I brought this up yesterday. We had a few texts on it. Britain's on board. Locker's not.
No. It's a dumb idea.
Everybody wants a 10th team in the Canadian Football League. 10 teams, which would shorten the season. You wouldn't have 21 weeks. You wouldn't have three bye weeks per team. The schedule maker, it would just harmonize and make things so much easier with a 10th team in the Canadian Football League. Everybody agrees to that. What if I told you to make that happen, we'd need one franchise in the United States?
No.
Would you be game for it or no? 1-877-332-8255. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
I'm having a ball. Don't stop me now. If you want to have a good time, just give me a call. Don't stop me now. I'm having a good time. Don't stop me now. Yes, I'm having a good time. I don't want to stop at all.
Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Of course, a lot of those outside the province starting to make their way towards Craven Country Thunder as the campsites start to open up midweek. The performers start hitting the stages a little bit in the saloon Thursday, then Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights on the grandstand.
I love the festivals.
Def Leppard on Sunday this year.
How many people
cap things off?
What's the percentage of people that go out there that camp? Is it a good chunk?
Oh, yeah. Very good chunk. That valley is full of campers. Trust me, I used to clean up after them all. You're disgusting people, by the way.
So it's not like you don't go out there for one day and then come home. You go out there the whole weekend.
They have buses going from Regina for sure.
But it's the majority of people are out there for the whole for the long haul.
A lot of people have the family motorhome we have because my uncle and aunt would go out in the family camper.
Okay.
The stickers of all it went from Craven Jamboree to the Country Thunder stickers all over the front of the windshield.
Yeah.
It's a tradition for a lot of people to go out. Now there's the family camp, and then there's the gong show campers who are there for a good time and sometimes a long time. But
when does the music start?
Not tomorrow. In the saloon, there's usually bands Thursday and then
Thursday. Okay.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday on the grandstand.
So people are going out there right now.
Oh, I'm from the valley, right? So I remember the days where you have the campers lined up down the highway between Lumsden and Craven, just waiting for the gates to open, and then they go
first come, first serve.
It's a little smoother than it used to be back in the day. They've learned, but I remember the campers lined that highway to get in.
It's awesome.
It's going to be another fun week, as Kirk texted. I know the forecast doesn't call for rain, but bring your rubber boots. It always rains. There's always a storm, Craven week. Taylor, you want to weigh in, though? I'm going to give you a 10th team in the Canadian Football League. However, it's going to be in the United States. Are you saying yes or no to that?
I don't know. Not really a fan of that.
You
know, I'll be honest, this is the CSL. I mean, what are we going to call it, the CASL? Like there's that, and I guess you could probably go in ahead, because I know whatever one of you guys is going to be against that, and you're going to say, well, the WHL is in the States too. Yeah, but these games the same as it is in the NHL. You have three periods, you have 20 minutes a period, same type of concept. You have four downs in the NFL. You got three downs in the CFL.
Yeah, but it's going to be three-down football. It's going to still be the Canadian Football League with the CFL rules.
How long, though? You're going to the States, remember. So they like to...
One team. I'm giving you one team, Taylor. One.
You can't give the States one of anything because they manipulate...
Thank you, Taylor. Taylor. Taylor knows exactly what's going on here.
I'm not so sure.
Oh, Blueberry Hill.
He's never going to come back.
Oh,
I'm not sure. Blueberry
Hill. That's the, Scott, it's a different berry. It's the Saskatoon berry.
Yeah, wrong or, berry,
the wrong
Scotty.
Berry. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. We're going to talk some baseball with you, the Western Canadian Baseball League, and whew, the Saskatoon Berries in year two are, as the term, a wagon right now. Joe Carnahan is the manager joining us here on the Green Zone. Joe, how is your Tuesday afternoon?
Going good. Going good. How's yours?
Very well. Okay, real quick. You're from Wisconsin, but yep. Where you're located is between Milwaukee and Minnesota. So Twins or Brewers?
Actually, Cubs.
Cubs? All right.
I'm a Cubs fan. Harry Carey was always on TV, so just grew up watching the Cubs on TV on WGN, and just a Cubs fan my whole life.
Second question. Since you were named manager of the Saskatoon Berries, how much Saskatoon berry pie have you consumed?
No wrong answers.
Actually, none yet.
Well, that is a wrong answer.
Joe,
I'm sorry.
Joe, you have to experience Saskatoon berry pie. It is.
Someone it sort is, that out in Saskatoon. Is what is amazing. Going on?
It's so good. But this has been
it might be the best pie, Joe.
It might be.
I'll have to try it out.
Okay.
So, ice cream heated up.
Like this Boom. Journey in your baseball career has been, like, you talk about you've been everywhere, man. You've been all over the place. In Swift Current, successful. North Dakota, of course, as I mentioned, you're from Wisconsin, Iowa. You've gone through this journey. What is this experience like, and what are you learning after so many years now, with, as I mentioned, with Swift Current, about this league and how special it's become?
This experience has been awesome. Like, the organization's been great, just from everybody involved, top to bottom, been great, and just quite the experience so far. And the league's really progressed over, you know, over the span that I've been able to be involved in it, and it just keeps getting better and better every year.
Joe, the Berries' first year in the WCBL was fruitful. Okay, we'll stop. You're following it up with another strong year. What have the keys to success been for you and the club?
Just this year especially, the guys gelled real quick this year. We had some returners. And then the new guys that came in, we were really able to identify some good character guys who also had, good ability and stuff. And the guys just got along from day one and keep growing as a team. And that's been the biggest thing for us.
Joe, when you look at the success of the Berries, and we've talked to Gary Brotzel down here in Regina a little bit about, you know, as they move to private ownership, how important has that been? Just organizationally, to have the success as quickly as it's come in Saskatoon?
Well, the organization just treats it like a pro team. Just how they treat the players, how game day is ran, just the operations, day-to-day, everything. It feels like a pro experience, and the players get a little bit of a taste of that, too. And I just can't say enough about how well the organization does.
Joe, who's the Berry's biggest rival?
I don't know. I just, every day, whoever we're playing, we just want to, perform okay. well and beat them, and that's kind of where we're at.
You get Moose Jaw in the town tonight. You're coming off a set against Regina, and you're playing so well. How do you keep a team motivated and not get too complacent when, you've only lost four games this season?
We just take it one day at a time. I know that sounds kind of cliche, but that's what we do. You know, each day is another opportunity, and we've had the ability to mix up our lineup, daily and stuff, and keep everybody involved, whether position players or pitchers, and that's been the thing that keeps us going. Just everybody's involved and everybody's contributing.
You've had some success against the Regina Red Sox this year so far. You've played six times, and you've only lost the one game. Have these games started to, because they're close too recently, have they started to become, a little more heated?
Well, the Regina's got a very good team, and we've just been fortunate, to come out on top. But they got a very good team. And it's been early. Like, we just got through June here, so we just got past the halfway point. So, reality is it's really early, and there's a lot of season left.
You're well versed in this league. Of course, you're a player yourself, very successful player. You got to know it a little bit. How much do you have to sell? Like, how important is the recruiting process? And how do you sell a guy like, you know, Menard from Louisiana to come up and play ball in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan?
Just the experience. You know, if you want to come up and experience something new, play for a good organization where you're going to get taken care of, and just see a different country, and just the whole experience itself. And it's a good schedule, play against good competition, and it's a good way to spend the summer.
Is anyone – this conversation is kind of – gone by the wayside, but is anybody on the team using torpedo bats, or are they allowed?
I think I've seen one floating around. I don't know if I can't remember who tried one out or whatever, but nobody's really, really getting after it with the torpedo bat. I think somebody just grabbed one day and kind of used it in BP, but that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah, that conversation, like at the start of the MLB season, it was like this biggest topic of conversation in baseball.
Well, there's only two guys on the Jays still using it.
Mm-hmm. But so, Joe, when you go through this, and you mentioned it earlier, where you kind of keeping guys active, you know, rotating guys through. How do you communicate with that? Because with, you know, young men, they want to compete every day. How important is the message and the reason for, you know, making sure everybody's not quite everybody's getting their turn regularly, but having a guy go, no, you're going to get a rest tonight, and have them understand it. How important is communication from a manager to his group?
No, it's very important, you know, and it's a thing where you want to tell the guys so they don't just, you know, look at the lineup and see they're not in there, so you communicate early. And the biggest message is we don't want guys to get worn out. We don't want guys to get injured, because we got a lot of guys going back to schools and some guys transferring to different schools, so they're going to have to win jobs there and all that. So we just want guys to be fresh and be fresher when they go back to school as well.
Joe, we talked about the fact that this is your second year. Last year you had a successful start. This year you guys are on fire, 27-4. With this success, have you started to see that impact with the fans and the crowds coming out to see you guys at the very least in Saskatoon?
Well, the crowd has been very supportive, and the city's been very supportive from the start. Like, even last year when we started off, I don't know, we were like 0-5, 3-8 and all that, and they're still filling the stands and all that, and they stuck with us, and we were able to turn around a little bit last year, and this year the fans continue to show up.
Where is this league gone? You can speak to, from when you were a player to now. What are you seeing, Joe?
Just more games, you know, more games. So that means more players, more teams from when I first started. So, and the exposure itself, just like everything else, just the exposure with social media and all that has improved a lot as well. And it just keeps getting bigger and better every year. And the league's always trying to do something different and try to stay with the times and help promote these kids.
At the beginning of this conversation, Joe, you mentioned that this team, the Saskatoon Berries, part of your success is that these young men have gelled quite nicely. I'm guessing you're following the Jays, and that's been sort of a topic of conversation that locker room and the clubhouse are really gelling nicely in Toronto. What do you like about the Toronto Blue Jays this year, this squad?
Well, I mean, they're getting hot at the right time, and they got a good club. And like you say, when you have a tight-knit group, it makes things easier. It makes it fun to go to the park every day.
Do you walk in, Joe, having experienced successful teams into the clubhouse and go, yeah, where these guys are getting it? Like, they're locked in.
Yeah.
Like, as a manager, can you feel that?
Yeah, for sure you can. And, you know, there's been some years where they're not quite as tight-knit or whatever, and you try to steer them in the right direction and that kind of stuff. And this year we've just been real fortunate with the group that we have.
Now, speaking of recruitment, what's it like when you say Saskatoon Berries to a guy? Like, do you have to explain it a little bit or no?
Not really, just a little bit. And basically I just tell them to go look at our social media if they haven't seen it already. And they kind of get the picture of what we are up here. And I tell them the baseball side of things too. And it's been really positive with coaches and players.
How important of this, like, a team, like, of course, when they announced the Saskatoon Berries, they talked about, you know, the atmosphere the Savannah Bananas have really put together in, you know, lower-tier ball. How important has that kind of roadmap been to these leagues, because a lot of teams are changing their name to something a little bit more
fun. Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit more fun and attention grabbing. How important kind of has the Savannah Bananas been for the exposure of these types of leagues?
Well, they kind of, you know, they did it the right way. You know, I mean, talking about them still right now, and they keep evolving. And when they came onto the scene, they hit it pretty darn good. And everybody's been trying to follow their lead.
Now, we talked about the Saskatoon Berry and the fact that you have not had a Saskatoon. There's no promotions at the games revolving around Saskatoon Berry pie or a tart or anything like this, Joe. Nothing.
No, oh, yeah, they have them at the games. Everything's Saskatoon Berries at
well,
the games.
Well, you got to get on this. At no point, Joe, did you think I got to get up there and fill my face with Saskatoon pie?
I probably need to have a couple more. I need to have a couple more jogs before I start eating pie.
The team's going to make you run to the fence and back a few times.
You're not going
to
regret Joe. This, Joe. No. Get on the pie. Get on the pie, buddy.
But going up and down the lineup, Joe, even from the rotation of the pitchers, how talented of a group do you have as he gets set for kind of a playoff run here?
Well, it's a good group. I mean, we got talent, and it's like I said before, it's guys aren't just putting it all on themselves. Like sometimes you get on teams where guys try to do too much and all that, and they're confident with each other, so they don't put pressure on themselves and think they have to get the job. One person has to get the job done every time. And to be able to have a collective group like that, you know, kind of says a lot about where we're at right now.
How special of a player is Ethan Menard, who's really, you know, he's batting over 400 right now in his first year up here?
Get out of here.
Yeah, he can really swing it. One thing about Ethan, he likes to win games, so he gets after it every day.
Well, Joe, thanks so much for joining us. I don't know if I'll let the social media team with the berries know that you haven't had berry pie yet. You might end up on a social media clip here real quick.
Someone deliver this man a pie.
Joe, always appreciate your time. Thanks for it. Best of luck tonight.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Of course, all around the WCBL, you got games going on. Saskatoon, Moose Jaw tonight. Weyburn's actually in Medicine Hat, Swift Current. At Curry Field.
I got to get out to a Red Sox
Regina.
Game.
Regina. I was thinking of taking the boy tonight, actually, to the Curry Field. But, of course, in Saskatoon, they are home to Moose Jaw. Coming up next, Gavin McKenna will make his decision live on ESPN. 15 years ago, another athlete had a very public decision in free agency. And I'm not so sure it worked for his public relations image. We'll remember it next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Hepbridge Farm remembers.
The Saskatchewan Roughriders are Grey Cup champions.
Moose Buck Everly scores! Tie game!
Have another donut!
On this day in sports history, 15 years ago today, July the 8th of 2010, it was known as the decision.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
In this fall, man, this is very tough. In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach. And joined the Miami Heat.
Miami Heat. That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
That was the conclusion I woke up with this morning.
That was the conclusion I woke up with this morning after completely manipulating through his agent to have the sign and trade of Chris Bosh, re-signing of Dwayne Wade, had all the chess pieces working to build the super team. That night, his favorability from a marketing standpoint dropped because of the decision. And I think my bias of MJ being bigger, better than LeBron forever
starts there.
Where I and then a couple of days later at the news conference in Miami. We're not going to win one, not two, not three. It looked like Dwayne Wade wanted to like throw him off the stage as LeBron kept on going. Yeah. Not four, not five on how many championships he was going to win with Miami. It's like, ooh. That wasn't a good week for LeBron James. And I still think...
He still hasn't recovered.
From that day, people went click on LeBron on what type of
he's not likable
first guy he was.
He is not a likable character.
Now, he raised a lot of money. Boys and Girls Club in Connecticut is where he was when he announced the decision.
He's got that school. He throws a lot of money at that.
He's absolutely. Philanthropy, he does a lot of good things, but that decision and his
trying to overcompensate
arrogance around Miami still burns me. It happened 15 years ago tonight, LeBron's decision.
Not the